Hello, everyone, and welcome. We are the Godfathers of Podcasting. It's Tuesday, October 25th. It's 7:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we should be broadcasting live, but we're not because our website seems to be broken, and we don't know why, but we are working on it right now, even as we speak. Anyway, we will record this week's episode, get it up on godfathersofpodcasting.com as soon as we can, and of course, it will be available on every major podcast provider. Now, unless this is the first time you're tuning in and checking out the show, you already know that we've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. And of course, we are going to be bringing you a great interview tonight with an incredible Canadian singer. We've been advertising it up on Instagram. Make sure you follow us on all our socials. And this guy is going to be joining us a little bit later on. His name is Jeff Beadle. He is a fantastic singer-songwriter that I got a chance to get to know a little bit this past weekend. And we are excited to bring him on the show. Hello, everyone. My name is Donnie Da Silva. And since 1996... the man on the screen next to me has been by my side, and we have done our best to entertain and amuse you through live digital broadcasts. He's always the smartest, the funniest, and the ugliest man in the room, and he's one of my favorite humans in the world. This is my man, Notorious T.I.D., Chris Tidwell.
Well, 3 out of 4 ain't bad, my man. 3 out of 4 ain't bad.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing okay. It's been a long, crazy, hectic couple of weeks. We didn't do anything last week.
No.
Right? No. So, you know, what have you been up to? Did you get out? Did you do anything?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a very busy week for me. Some stuff going on professionally that I've already shared with you that is cause for great celebration on the personal front.
Are we talking about that?
Nah, we'll just leave it at that.
Well, then shut the fuck up about it.
I've had cause for great celebration.
You're such, like, oh, it's this humble fucking brag that I'm going to start the show off with. You're such a piece of shit. People don't
cause
even know
cause for
it.
Great celebration. That's it. And this past weekend, I did get an opportunity to go to my absolute favorite venue in the Greater Toronto Area, the El Macambo, see some great
Chuck
live music.
Cheese?
Oh. I also... haven't been to a movie in a while, and when I say a while, I mean probably a month, because I'm a movie fanatic. But sure. I got a chance to see the new superhero movie Black Adam.
Oh yeah,
with Dwayne Johnson, and I really enjoyed it. And you know what? I went in with very little expectation because I mean, when you talk about, you know, you've got your A-list heroes, like your Superman, okay. Batman, right? And then you've got your B-list heroes that not everyone is familiar with, but they may have heard of, like the Flash and Green Lantern. Black Adam is probably like an L-list hero. Like, he's so not well-known. He has no name brand recognition whatsoever. There's comic book fans that don't even know who the hell Black Adam is. And I'm a bit of a comic nerd, and I was not really familiar with the Black Adam story, other than he was an enemy, a villain of Shazam. I didn't really know his background. Yeah. I didn't know about him as a good guy slash bad guy who kind of waffled back. I didn't know any of that stuff. And the funny thing is, I remember Dwayne Johnson talking about signing with a studio to produce this film 15 years ago.
Sure.
And for all kinds of different reasons, the movie just never happened, right? It was a matter of the studio changed their mind. They're not into it. They were trying to convince Dwayne Johnson to play a different superhero. He said, no, it's got to be Black Adam. And then it was like scheduling conflict and then director conflict. And finally, this fucking thing gets made, and there it is, Black Adam.
Was it good? Did you like it?
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun. It's a little darker, but they're taking a little bit from the Marvel sensibilities, you know, where it's
all right,
it's got some humor, as you would expect from Dwayne Johnson, there's some, but not yuck yuck humor, more like straight face, like I'm mocking you for being so lame kind of humor.
Sure, but I think everybody's got used to that whole, like the Deadpool humor.
The Deadpool, it's not as extreme as
you know what I mean?
It's not like Deadpool humor. It's a different kind of humor.
Sure.
But it's a fun movie. It has a little bit of heart, just a few drops. Right. And you know, and some surprises, for sure some surprises. And hardcore comic book nerds are going to enjoy it, and those that are more casual, The Rock is in it. So go see it.
Right. Well, I mean, it is that time of year that we are starting to like nerd out for movies, and you've got superhero nerd outs and you've got horror movie nerd outs because it's, you know, Halloween time or whatever. Did you happen to see the new Halloween movie yet? The Halloween Ends, if you will.
It was on the list of things to do this past weekend, and it did not happen.
All right.
So
I've seen it.
And?
Yeah, you can kind of tell that they were very happy with the first one and this End one, you know, that whole the John Carpenter series parts of it, because there is no mention whatsoever of anything in between. Mm. It was very, very well filmed, just like the last one. I don't like the part where they kind of humanized Michael a little bit more.
They did that in the last one.
So it was, I don't know. I had to go watch it and then leave and then go back and watch the rest of it. You know what I mean? It wasn't even a sit down one sitter thing, but you know,
I like whatever. The old days when our horror movie killers were just that, horror right. movie killers.
And now I haven't seen the new Terrifier yet. I haven't seen that yet. So I'm going to sit down and watch that one. Right. So
that's supposed to be
a bloody mess.
That's very supposed bloody to be mess. Terrifying. You know what is actually supposed to be super creepy? I've been hearing a lot of people talk about it. Is Smile?
No. Why would I see it? I don't even like when people smile at me. there's absolutely zero interest whatsoever. Like that's just going to be a creep out fest the entire time.
It's a creep out fest, bro. Right?
Like didn't they do like this crazy like viral guerrilla marketing thing before it came out? And people are starting to notice now. There was like going to like different sporting events where they could get a seat on camera and they would just sit there and do that stupid smile until it was noticed on camera and people were picking up on it. And
I did not know that
was,
this.
Yeah. Apparently that is the story that was going around. I was like, that's pretty funny.
I love that. Yeah. The trailer is so creepy that I actually had to have a conversation with myself. And I said, self, do you want to do this?
Stop jerking off here.
No, that was a different conversation for a different time, but I literally had to ask myself, do we want to take the plunge on this movie? I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
In the news, Mr. Tidwell.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, breaking news. Adidas, or Adidas, depending on what part of the world you are in, has officially terminated their partnership with Kanye. No more Yeezys, Mr. Tidwell. And some people are saying, big deal. You know, who cares? Kanye will move on. That deal with Adidas made up $1.5 billion of Kanye's net worth. He's no longer a billionaire, Tid. He's down to being worth only $400 million. Only $400 million.
For those of you that aren't joining us and have to watch this later,
what are you doing?
Me just pointing fingers. This right here, Donnie, this is my shocked face.
Oh, okay. That was a long visual gag of you pointing at yourself.
Tremendous.
I didn't know what you were doing.
There is no way in hell anybody thought this was going to go any other way. This is everybody is jumping ship on Kanye West right now.
His agency dumped him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, the crazy thing is for everybody that gets, you know, jumps off ship, there's going to be somebody to jump on ship, and you're going to see, you know, what kind of people latch onto him, I think. You know what I mean? Like there's a whole nother side. Now he's endearing himself to the more right wing side. I guess you could say.
I'd say the extreme right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I mean, pretty soon Kanye is going to be doing fucking, you know, special appearances on Alex Jones TV shows and doing infomercials for Mike Lindell and his pillow company, probably. Well,
when you're seeing things like the photos,
dude, could they make Yeezy pillows?
Like the My Pillow guy, you're funny. When you're seeing photos pop up online, like did on the weekend, mm-hmm. of hate-filled individuals holding banners over top an overpass,
insanity
that says Kanye was right about the Jews.
Insane.
Ay, ay, ay. Like that is this is evidence, folks, of how words have power and how words matter, and words coming from people in a position of influence are very, very powerful. Those morons that made those banners, they already thought those things, but them 100%. Feeling like they have a cosign from a then billionaire makes them feel more justified in their stance. It's dangerous and it needs to come to a stop. Another guy who is in the news, I shouldn't laugh at this, but he's in the news today. Another celebrity who has a very different public persona than Kanye, because for the most part, he's fairly beloved. But now there's a push to cancel him too, and that's Neil Patrick Harris. Neil Patrick Harris had comments that recently resurfaced, and I don't know where his comments were made, if they're Twitter or what, I don't know. But he made comments about Nick Jonas when Nick Jonas was still a teenager. And he said he was really good looking before it was kind of allowed to think he was good looking, which was a bit of a problem. And people are saying, oh no, Neil Patrick Harris is a pedophile. And I'm like, hold on. Do we not understand the context of what he's saying?
Here's the thing.
I mean, nobody should be sexualizing a minor. That's for damn sure. But he wasn't. 100%.
No.
Right? He was saying he was a cute kid. That's essentially what he was saying.
This is all coming from the same group of people that, like, what was the Blue Lagoon? Was that a movie that was put out? You know what I mean? With what's her name? Brooke Shields.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
And the premise of it was that she was stranded on an island as two underage brother and sister who fell in love with one another.
Yeah. It was creepy.
Yeah. Right. So, things like a movie back then, Endless Love, I think same thing, where it was an old dude with a young girl. Like, people have to understand that just because somebody has said something is completely different than what y'all have put down people's throats in movies and in cinema and things like that. Yeah, he said he was a cute kid. We all thought that Annette Funicello from the Mickey Mouse Club was a cute kid. We all thought that Bucky was a cute kid. It doesn't, like, these are ridiculous reaching statements, I think, from some people. You know what I mean? I don't understand people's agendas sometimes.
By the way, Ted, I just got word from our tech specialist that Godfathers of Podcasting is back online.
Scooby-Doo!
However, it's too late in the game for us to start broadcasting live, so we will continue to record
live. Stop time right now.
Stop time? We will continue to record
commercial break
tape and then put this up online afterwards. How about this for people that should have been canceled? Kyle Rittenhouse. We remember him from the mass shootings that happened at the riots. Kyle Rittenhouse, who was acquitted of murder, has a new YouTube channel, Tid, where he talks about his love for guns. Because why not? Because why doesn't he? Right? Because Fox News audience. Has turned him into a celebrity. So why not?
Yeah.
He but doesn't has this an feel audience. Totally like, I know he's a 19-year-old kid or whatever the hell he is, but this is so tone deaf. Whoever's close to him has to be in his ear and say, you know what, dude, do a podcast or a YouTube channel about something, like talk about your Pokemon collection, like do something else.
He's not smart enough to, and I guarantee you that this is all, this entire group of human is starting to band together in some weird kind of, watch. Kanye is going to end up on his show talking about guns. Oof. You watch, right? This is what we're leading to with these idiots. Listen, I would rather have them in front of me where I can see them act stupid than behind me wondering what the hell is going on behind my back with them. So if this kid wants to talk about his love for guns, cool. Go talk about your love for guns. It's not my bag of fucking tricks or anything like that. I would never, ever say, hey, you need to check this out. I wouldn't put it, you know what I mean? I wouldn't spread it like that. But we can't stop people from doing stupid things. And if this stupid idiot wants to do something stupid, I say we wait till after the fall and we laugh about it then.
We often talk about how, you know, there is a difference with frame of reference, right? Between Canadians and Americans, despite sharing a border, ideology is so different. As a born and bred Canadian boy who's lived his whole life in a major city, the biggest one in Canada, I've never owned a gun. I have shot a gun at a range. I have never owned a gun. You, my friend, born and raised in Las Vegas, now living in Ontario for the last I don't know, million years. Do you own a gun? I think the answer is no, but do you own a gun?
I do not currently own a gun in my possession here. No. Okay. Now, that been said, I am getting ready to fly back home to Vegas. And one of the things
at which point you will be buying a gun?
No, but I am going out to shoot machine guns while I'm down there. So
as one does in Vegas.
Yeah. That's a thing. And I fully endorse that everybody should have the right to be able to go do that. I do not think that everybody needs to have the right to own one of those guns inside of their home. To be able to go someplace under the guard of somebody else, way more responsible than yourself, you can go and fire one of these things if that's what gets your rocks off. Because other than that, you have zero need for a 50 caliber in your motherfucking house.
Speaking of Las Vegas,
the
world headquarters of the fight game, I think we can agree on that. There's a big fight happening this weekend. Jake Paul, the brother of YouTube sensation / now WWE wrestler Logan Paul. Jake Paul will be in a boxing match against one of the goats of the UFC, Anderson Silva. In the words of UFC president Dana White, this is a real fight for Jake Paul, the first one he's had. I'm assuming you'll be watching the fight, Tid. How do you handicap this one? Is this a real fight finally for Jake Paul?
Well,
with Anderson at the age of, what is he, 46?
47-year-old Anderson Silva, who still has hands on him. Does he have the youth? Does he have the power of Jake Paul? No, not even in the slightest. What is he? So Anderson Silva sits right now at a plus 120, okay, to Jake Paul's minus 154.
Wow.
So in the books, this is a lot closer than you would think, right?
I'm shocked. It's
is paying plus 1200.
Who would you lay juice on?
Who would I see? Part of me says that there's no way you should ever bet against Anderson Silva. You know what I mean? He's Anderson Silva.
That would be the prevailing logic.
Right. But he is also 47 years old going up against a young, hungry dude who's got a big overhand left. I would put money down on Jake Paul because the odds are on Jake Paul by KO or TKO plus 310.
Holy shit. I always get three to one odds
on a KO or a TKO. Yeah.
I always get the two Paul brothers mixed up. So Jake is the one that's like 5'10", right?
Jake is the one. He's the one with the Elway face.
I know that, but Jake is 5'10". Yeah. Okay. I'm looking it up. Jake is 5'10" and 3/4". and Logan is 6'1". And yeah. Jake, I don't know what his walking around weight is. I assume that Anderson is
probably about 200 pounds.
Who? Jake?
Yeah.
If he's 200 pounds, he's getting knocked out.
What?
If he's only 200 pounds, he's getting knocked out.
Well, let's find out. What is this fight at?
Because I would think Anderson's at least 210. I don't know.
Who knows? Who? Well, because you got to remember what did. Okay, here we go. Well, Jake Paul, 191.5. Anderson Silva, 187.5.
Bullshit. I don't buy that. He's in his UFC fighting shape? No way. He's been eating burgers.
Yeah, so I'm saying they're probably both walking around at about 200 pounds.
Very interesting. Okay, so with this happening, Tid, and all the big celebrity shows we've seen with Triller and everything else, now there's an announcement, right? Roy Jones Jr. is going to fight some social media guy in January. Is this the future now for boxing? For 25 years, people have surmised that the sport of boxing is dying. Is this it now? You take your biggest stars, and instead of putting them out to pasture, just let them fight celebrities and social media guys until they turn 50. Or in Mike Tyson's case, 55.
Remember when boxing got so pissed off at MMA, calling it like this sideshow this
circus
freak show, this circus thing now, right? And the thing that everybody's watching and everybody's talking about, outside of a good few, very, very few solid fights in boxing, everybody talks about these fucking freak show, these sideshow fights, quote.
That's what draws, right? Man.
But that is what's drawing right now. It's a whole new world of people making money off of the boxing world. So, you know, I think it's fantastic. You go, boys.
Speaking of those Triller fights, this wasn't in our pre-show notes on things that we wanted to chat about, Tid, but I do want to throw this out there. One of the celebs that has fought on one of those celebrity boxing gimmicks is former NBA star, three-time NBA slam dunk champ, Nate Robinson. As we learned this past week from friend of the show, Gary Trent, Nate Robinson is fighting for his life right now. He's going through massive kidney shutdown, and he is really fighting for his life. So keep Nate Robinson in your thoughts. Apparently he's been battling this for like 4 years. So at the time he had that fight with Jake Paul, he was not well. So I don't know, man, how do you go into a fight with like kidney issues? You know what I mean? Like
maybe he didn't know.
Apparently he knew. He's been dealing with this issue for like 4 years.
That's insane.
And on top of that, he was talking about an NBA comeback and all this other stuff. Thoughts and prayers go out to Nate Robinson. Hope he does well and manages to kick out on this thing. I want to throw this one at you, Tid. Are you a guy with tech?
Yes.
Are you a guy that's into the wearables yet?
What do you mean wearables?
Like the smart
watches. Explain yourself, young man.
Smart watches.
Yeah. I got one of those gimmicks.
Yeah. What do you have? A Samsung smartwatch?
I got the Huawei smartwatch.
Huawei. Yeah. I've got a Samsung.
I figure if I'm gonna give my dad up, I'm gonna give it right to him.
So Samsung is now breaking into a new market on the wearable space, and it's not the watches, not the bracelets, it's rings.
For your cock.
No.
Oh.
No, sir.
Oh. Because I could really get my steps in, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, my God. That's a whole other metric that they're tracking.
I'm just saying.
Can you imagine getting an alert on your phone because of your smart cock ring saying, come on, dude, you're going to pull it off. Give it a break. Go say hi to your wife.
I'm just saying.
No, the new smart rings, they claim to be able to track all the same things that the smart watches and bracelets do, like steps, calories, heart rate, heart failure, pending heart failure. There's times where they talk about Apple smartwatches actually saving people's lives because they detect an impending heart attack. But they say that the new rings can actually even track things like your metabolism and help you with things like, you know, help you with your health and your diet in ways that no smart wearable has ever been able to do before. And the big selling feature, Tid, is because they have no screen, it's just a ring. It looks just like a regular metal ring. There's no screen. So they say the battery life is months at a time before it needs to be charged. Are you going to go buy a smart ring?
Probably not, because it sounds a little too fucking Lord of the Rings to me. You know what I mean? I feel like there's going to be some crazy Gollum dude from Samsung chasing you around, trying to track down all your information or something like that. But yeah, no, I probably wouldn't, because I don't wear jewelry anyways.
Yeah, me neither.
You know what I mean? I'm not a jewelry kind of person. I don't even wear a wedding ring as it is. I think that's what you're going to see, though, is you're going to see a lot of people have to give it up, and they're going to be like, hey, Samsung, you're going to get one of those Samsung rings, and that's going to be your wedding ring. And guess what, motherfucker? All of your data is going to my phone.
And your wife is going to track your ring, and now you ain't getting away with shit.
This is what's going down. That's what's going to end up happening. You watch.
Last story I want to throw at you before we tee up our guest.
I
feel like you might like this one, Tid. Oof. Popeyes. I mean, who doesn't like Popeyes, right? Unless you're on some kind of keto type program. Who doesn't love Popeyes? So Popeyes is launching a special promotional campaign in select locations across Canada. Uh-huh. Americans are going to be pissed when they hear about this, that they're not getting it. Across select Canadian locations, Popeyes is going to be launching, for a limited time only, a 300-piece nugget box. 300 nuggets, Tid.
In a box.
In a box.
Are they cooking them in olive oil? Popeyes.
Oh, God, you're awful. First of all, that's a really bad dated reference, and you're
amazing. Old. That's right.
300. Second. What are we going to do with a 300 piece box of nuggets?
Somebody's going to try to eat them.
I eat.
They're literally making. They're literally making this for epic meal time and college dorms. Like,
this is like literally like a frat house thing, right?
This is going to be a frat house thing where somebody's going to buy. All they got to do is sell one, and the restaurant's good for the day.
Oh my God. I wonder what they're going to charge for 300.
How long would it take? Like, you got to imagine that the first ones would be dead ass cold by the time you finished cooking the last ones.
On your best day, how many nuggets do you think you could eat if you're hungry? On your best day. No, come on, come on. Just play the game.
I honestly don't know, because I don't know when the last time I had a fucking chicken nugget was, to be honest with you.
I had some chicken nuggets from McDonald's, and I ate six and I tapped out.
Yeah, I don't think I could do many, because I just would not understand or like the way that they fucking felt. You know what I mean?
Now, okay, if I was to folks, Mr. Gourmet Chef is too much of a snob to eat a fucking nugget.
Hold on a second. I say that, but I will make homemade chicken fingers. You know what I mean? All it is.
That's because he's elevated, folks.
No, it's because I don't know how to make him fucking small like a nugget yet.
The guy that looks like a Sons of Anarchy extra is too elevated for a nugget.
Yeah. 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 Let's fucking go with that. Now what?
And that's the time of day on that subject. And don't even question it. Lots fucking more stories nuggets that we want to talk about, folks. But you know what? I want to get to fucking our featured guest.
You're a fucking nugget.
You're a nugget.
Fucking nugget. I hope you fucking choke on a fucking nugget.
Can I tee up our guest?
I'm choking. Obviously you. Not. Obviously you fucking can't.
I can't. It can't be done, because Tid won't shut up about nuggets. I regret ever mentioning the story.
Fucking got me hot now, you son of a bitch.
Well, go try on your Samsung cock ring. You'll be fine. All right.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, a couple nights ago, my friend and former guest on this show, Gina Kennedy from the bands Altered by Mom and Sky Wallace, sent me a message and told me, hey, there's a really cool unplugged showcase at the Elma Combo tonight. You want to check it out? And I'm a huge fan of Gina's. And ever since the Renos, I love live music at the Elmo. So I was down. I wasn't prepared, though, for how good this show was going to be. In addition to Altered by Mom, there was Cassie DeSilva, who I loved, and Lowest of the Low frontman Ron Hawkins, and tonight's guest. He kicked off an incredible night, and his big voice and powerful lyrics earned him many new fans. His roots in folk music serve him well as a storyteller and lyricist with his dark alt-pop type sound. His song Sad Colors had me absolutely choked up on Sunday night, and his single Shadows from his new album Time's Tattoos hit number one earlier this year on Stingray's Adult Alternative list. He's toured Asia, Europe, and Canada extensively, and recently was part of North by Northeast and headlined the Canada Games, and he can be regularly heard on CBC's After Dark. He's definitely worth checking out when he's playing a town near you. Ladies and gentlemen, so much talent, it should be illegal. He makes you want to fly like an eagle. His music's like a warm hug from your pet beagle. Not saying he's a king, but man, he's so fucking regal. Now drop that needle. Give it up for Jeff Needle.
I mean, is that how you introduce everybody? Like, that is the best introduction I've ever... Maybe you should have emceed the evening last night.
Not everyone's name roughly rhymes with Beatle. So
his mom is so mad. He does this with every time he would bring somebody new home, right? He's like, hold on. Mom, you got to hear this. So bad.
Amazing.
Like 13 years.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Yeah.
All right, let's get to it. Do you eat chicken nuggets?
I was listening in on that a little bit. I figured that I could probably get to 20.
20, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dude, that's a dude who's lived on the road, though.
But I could do like, you know, I compare it to maybe chicken wings or something like that. I could get to probably 15 of those for sure.
I feel like chicken wings, I can power down more of them. All that breading on a nugget, man, that's gonna do a number.
It's never been my go-to, you know what I mean? I always get like a burger or something.
Well, that's because you're not nine.
It's probably true.
But at the same time, you're not so snobby like Tid that you couldn't enjoy a nugget while you're on tour somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, they're delicious. I can't deny.
Exactly.
I've never denied that they're delicious. I just think they're fucking childish as fuck.
Yeah, and they're not very good for you as well.
No.
Sometimes you got to indulge, you know.
300-piece nugget box has zero nutritional value. That's crazy. Let's get that out of the way. Yeah,
that would be a frat house thing for sure, like some sort right? of maybe corporate dinner that you know, I don't know.
Could you imagine how pissed off you would be? Like, you're sitting in a corporate setting, they got you on this retreat, they hired Jeff Beadle to come fucking play some fucking cool fucking jams, you
and
know,
he's throwing nuggets at
fireplace,
you.
And all of a sudden they bring out the catering trays and you lift it up and it's 300 fucking nuggets.
Yeah.
That's a rough sale.
Yeah.
You'd probably be looking for a new job.
Yes.
Jeff, listen, man, I wasn't just blowing smoke. When I had the chance to go to the show on Sunday night, all I knew was that Gina and Devin were going to be performing Altered by Mom, and I'm huge fans of theirs. They've performed on this show. I love their music. I love their vibe. And I was excited. I had no knowledge of who else was performing. I didn't know that Ron Hawkins from Lowest of the Low was going to be there. And I'm a fan of Lowest of the Low.
Yeah, same here.
I didn't know anything.
It was like, he was like instrumental kind of in my high school years. You know what I mean? Like my father would bring home the CDs and all that kind of stuff. And my dad was like big into Canadian indie. So it was, amazing stuff for me to like, I would kind of made an idiot of myself. I went up and I just wanted to introduce myself. And I said, my dad would almost be honored that I met you. And he was just like, almost be honored. He's like, I'll put that on the top of the list. But I was just like spewing bullshit, you know, like I was so nervous to meet him, you know what I mean? So he's a Canadian legend. So
Canadian icon. And But you know what? That shows our difference in age, man. Your dad was bringing home Lowest of the Low CDs. My dad was bringing home Dolly Parton 8-tracks.
Well, Dolly Parton is also amazing. But yeah.
But my dad would my dad would have the same joke every time. He'd show me the cover of the album with Dolly Parton and I'd be like, "Oh." And he's like, I said, "You like her music?" He's like, "She makes music?"
Yeah, that's amazing.
That wow. was my dad's sense of humor always. Really cool, man. And I don't know that I've ever heard the term. And I know that it's becoming more and more popular to twist up, mash up, hybrid up different musical genres. But I don't know that I've ever necessarily heard the term of dark alt pop.
Yeah, I think it. Yeah, I think a lot of the darkness like has to do with my lyricism, because I've written one happy song in my lifetime. That's kind of like music is my therapy to it's my avenue to get out of the, like, you know, the darkness or whatever. But I mean, yeah, I've been experimenting for a lot. Like, I started as like a folk musician. Mm-hmm. And did a bunch of tours and stuff like that. And then, you know, that kind of,
what do you mean, like with a group?
No, I just did, I would tour like Europe, and I did some Asia stuff, some Canadian stuff. I've never been to the States, but it was just acoustic guitar. Like, I recently was over there with just an acoustic guitar, and I think that's kind of how I go over the best. Like, that's how I get my point across. So even when I'm playing my newer music, which is with a full band and all that kind of stuff, my music still kind of translates as that kind of like folk singer songwriter stuff, because I incorporate lyrics that are truthful and storytelling within even the band setting, that aren't so vague, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So tell me, who were some of the influences then getting to that? Because it's not a huge genre to, no. You know what I mean, to draw influence from. But I mean, when you say like that folky kind of singer-songwriter stuff, I think right away, I think like Arlo Guthrie.
Yeah, okay. Like, you know, he's never really had like a big influence on me at all, right? So,
right.
I mean, guys like Ryan Adams, not to be confused with Bryan Adams. although Ryan Adams is fantastic as well. Guys like Ray LaMontagne. Oh man, but I grab from all sorts of genres. It's not like I just listen to like folk music. I go into, like, I have a Bon Iver t-shirt on right now. Like, I know he's folky, but he's gone, like, I just went and saw him this summer, and he's gone like kind of way out there with his music. And I don't know, I take from everywhere, like from old music to new music, and you know, I just, whatever's kind of I'm listening to at the time.
What you're saying is you'll steal from anyone.
I'll steal from anybody. I will plagiarize everybody. Yeah.
Flat out just rip them off. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I find it's good to do that with really old songs. People have never heard them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Everything old is new. Yeah, man. When I said in the intro that your song Sad Colors really got me, it did. Like, that song, I don't know what it was. It made me think of my dad. It made me think all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I came here to have a beer and a few laughs. This guy's putting me on the psychiatrist couch.
I like, when I wrote that song, it hasn't been released yet. And mm-hmm. I was just trying stuff out, like, you know, like probably like a comedian would do, or, you know, I just like, I can't come up on stage. And I started trying that one out on tour, and I was getting a lot of feedback, a lot of good feedback with it. And I kind of like, there's like a part in the chorus that it's like, it's, you know, you're talking about dying and violence, and you know what I mean? It just, I don't know. I felt like it was a little bit harsh, but I was like, I'm going to try this tonight while I was on tour, and went over well. So I played it throughout the whole tour, and it got a lot of great feedback. Yeah.
Do you ever feel like, do you ever feel the risk associated with being so vulnerable? Do you ever feel like you're just exposing a little too much of yourself? And does that scare you at all?
Not really. I mean, that's like I've been writing music since I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And that's just always kind of how I've written. I don't really know any other way. I still get stoked when things are coming out. Like, I mean, at times, yeah, like, you know, I try to keep away from if I'm directing like something, you know, at my friends or my, you know, wife or whatever, you know, whatever it be, or like sometimes it's just a story, you know, but yeah, like there's that vulnerability, but I'm so used to it now, like, cause that's always how I've written music and nobody's ever gotten mad at me. So that's one of the good things, I guess. Yeah.
Do you ever go out and play with a full backing band, like a regular group of people, or are you for the most part just touring on your own and do what you do solo?
I started to like right before the pandemic hit, and we did a show with a bigger show here in Niagara with Colorado and like Tokyo Police Club, and that went over really well. And then I just did one for like the Niagara 2022 games, and that went over well. But it's a lot of work, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a dad. A lot of the guys that play in my band are dads. It's and my music is getting to be like the stuff that I've written recently is getting to be like, it's quite technical. Like, I don't know, like just with like the amount of instruments that are in it, the production is really heavy.
So you're saying these hacks can't cut it. That's what you're saying.
No. I'm saying that it just takes, no, they're great. But I mean, like, it just takes so many rehearsals and like, you know, like people have to drive their kids to hockey practice. People have to like, do this, do that. But yeah, like they're great and I love them. And, but like, I find like walking into a room with my acoustic guitar and it's easiest. I just throw it in the back of my car or my van. And that's it. Bring some merch in.
And you don't have to pay those other guys.
I was just going to say, and you don't split it five ways, baby.
Yeah. But we will do like it depending on, I like, honestly, it's like a lot of the times it kind of depends on what we're going to get as a guarantee or something. And I don't want to sound like that, but you got to pay the guys when they're at that stage, and they're at that level of artistry. So, a lot of the times, I'll just go on my own, but, if it calls for it, then we'll go for the big band.
So let me ask you this. And I don't think I've ever asked anyone this question that predominantly performs solo. So to me, one of the coolest things about being a rock star, being a musician, touring all over the world, one of the coolest parts of that is all the stuff that happens in between shows, the camaraderie, the fun, the nonsense, the late nights and whatever. And when you're solo, isn't that a very different experience? Like,
it's so weird because I've always taken somebody on the road with me. That's fun. So it'll just be like a buddy who I want like to drive and sell merch or something, right?
Okay.
And like we'll swap driving and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I've been on tour in Europe like probably 6 or 7 times, and I mean it's always awesome time. Like, I mean, there's the down times, there's the hungover times, there's the I don't want to drive here like 8 hours or 9 hours, like. But I always travel with somebody that is a lot of fun. Yeah, this time when we went over our flight, I brought my manager. He's fun. And we had this big plan because I was like, "What? You fly to Amsterdam and you, it's because it's always the
cheapest. Get high."
No, I actually don't smoke, but yeah, so we,
our flight got, I didn't say anything, Jeff.
Yeah, I drink, but
guilt comes from within, my friend. Listen, if they're in the room with you, blink twice.
We won't rat you out, bro.
So, but I always call like Amsterdam the black hole. It's like I always land there. We always stay a night. I always regret it the next day, right? 'Cause that's like you land, you have your travel day, then you go to, you play your show like the next night. But this time I was like, I'm not staying in Amsterdam. We're going to catch our flight. And we're going to drive to Dusseldorf for the first show is I have some friends there and we're just going to stay at their place and then play the show. And just kind of, we were going to scram from Amsterdam. But our flight got delayed, about 15 hours. We had to sleep in the airport. It was too late for us to drive to Dusseldorf. So we flew in and, we got stuck in Amsterdam. So we got the car rental. We went to a hotel and we're just like, hey, let's just say we take a little walk around to downtown, right? Next thing you know, we run into a bunch of Canadians. They're all at the bar. The bartender's Canadian. And then we get home at like 4:30 in the morning. And then I got to play the show the next day in Dusseldorf, you know? So it's just, I call it the black hole. It's like, I can't escape it. But if you fly further into Germany or you fly further into like say Austria or something like that, then the flights get exponentially more expensive. So yeah.
I have a suggestion for you.
Yes.
The next time you're doing a tour, specifically in Amsterdam, that would be my suggestion, but really anywhere. If you're stuck on a travel partner who is fun, take Tid.
Yeah, I'll take Tid.
He's grumpy as shit, but he is fun.
Yeah.
And you will not stop laughing. He I might like grumpy throw a box fun. Of 300 nuggets at you. You may regret the statement, I don't smoke, because you will get high just being near him.
That happened to me in Amsterdam. I just
but you can get cafe. As messed up as you possibly want, and I could just carry you.
Yeah. That is completely fine. That's that's what tank. I want. That's the ideal road manager.
I'll tell you, speaking from personal experience, when I was a young man, I had my 19th birthday at the bar where Tid and I used to work together, and I was blackout drunk, and this big bear took care of me. So
beautiful.
You know what? I cannot say anything negative. If you get fucked up, that's the guy you want in your corner.
All right.
But yeah, this one was pretty tame. It was fairly tame. It was only about 9 shows. Like, you know, it wasn't too crazy. So
how many times have you gone over now, Jeff?
Over to Europe? I've been, I don't even know, like six or seven times. I originally got signed to a German record label. So that's why things kind of kicked off.
Are you a foodie guy when you go to Europe?
Mm. Oh man. Like we were trying to be good. Like usually the venues feed you really well. So you go in. So basically you get breakfast at the hotel and then you get dinner when you get there. I love food. I have a smoker that I like briskets and I like doing pork butts and like doing all that kind of stuff too. Like I have like what, you know, like a Traeger style.
Did you have a certain dish that you were like, you know, the European tour is coming up. I can't wait to get back over there. Cause there's this one thing, you know what I mean? That I dug.
You've got a schnitzel when you're there. Right. But there's like the Turkish donairs and stuff like that. They're unbelievable as well. You don't want to get the wrong Turkish donair. Like next morning you'll be, or even.
Did that happen to you?
You get the Taco Bells.
Yeah, it's the like basically like the Taco Bell of donair. So I mean, yeah, that's
so what happened. So what happened there?
Well, you spend the majority of your day on the toilet, and that's the problem. Yeah.
Confirm or deny you have a sad song coming up about Turkish donairs?
Yeah. Slipped in the word Turkish donair.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, dude. Listen, I know that we had given you the heads up ahead of time. And if you're cool, we would love to have you to play us a little something.
You want me to play Sad Colors?
Oh, man, I'm going to fucking cry. All right. Oh,
absolutely, then.
I don't know how this is going to sound.
Jeff fucking Beatles going to make me cry on the air.
Don't cry. Can you guys hear that okay?
Take my camera off and put all the focus on Jeff.
Song's called Sad Colors.
Sure is.
Then I'm gonna forget. forget the first line all the time. I've been holed up writing songs in the basement. You've been upstairs banging dishes, raising two kids. I've been getting enough sleep for the two of us, and you know this always pulls me out the deep end. But dark has always been a hand I hold on to. It's always been my awkward little dance partner. It's always been a friend I can turn to. Everybody leaves. Now sometimes all I see is sad colors. Stage fright, 13. Negative numbers, crying. Violence and dying. Now sometimes all I see is sad colors. Stage fright, 13. Negative numbers, crying. Violence, enough to bring a brother to his knees. And darling, you look great in that dress tonight. As soft as the delicate moonlight. I'm as lost as a cat in a dog fight. Always praying on the lonely. Yeah. Dark has always been a hand I hold on to. It's always been a complicated dance partner. It's always been a friend I can turn to. Everybody leaves. Now sometimes all I see is sad colors. Stage fright, 13. Negative numbers, crying. Violence, dying. Now sometimes all I see is sad colors. Wild nights, 13. Negative numbers, crying. And violence, enough to bring a brother to his knees. Who are you? Who are you to judge me? Who are you to judge me? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you to judge me? Who are you to judge me? Who are you? Now sometimes all I see is sad colors. Can't hear you guys.
Wow. We
realized my microphone was muted.
I was just letting you have the moment there for a second. You know, so everybody could finish wiping their eyeballs off. Yeah. Right?
You done did it. I said I was gonna cry and wipe their eyeballs off
and unmoistening themselves from the chairs that they're sitting in while listening to this.
Yeah, that's
well done, man. Well done, man.
Very powerful and still yet unreleased, you said.
It's unreleased. I'm gonna put out like a live video recording of it coming like I think early November. It's like shot in Europe and it's like pretty and nice and was shot by a fellow named Marvin Dufresne while I was over in Europe, and then we'll release it as just an acoustic single. And then I'll produce it a little bit more, and then it'll probably come out in a future date. I have to demo it first, but we're going to put it out, and maybe it'll just be that. It'll just be acoustic. Not sure.
It is really
nice,
really powerful tune. And it is now my second favorite song about colors, right after, this powerful little ditty.
I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky, I could be hurtful, I could be purple, I could be anything you like.
I mean, that's a tearjerker, but
yeah,
really, dude. I mean, I'm such a huge fan It's not always the genre that I'm going to choose to plug into because I am a big softy and I don't want to spend my nights crying.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. I'm the same way though. Like there's only so much of that music that you can listen to before you gotta pep it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I gotta go from that and then put on some Pantera or something.
Yeah. I'm a Pantera fan too. But I mean, yeah. I grew up on that stuff too.
What else do you listen to when you're not listening to your own stuff and producing your own music? Like, what do you like that people might not expect that you like? We know about the folk influence, but
yeah, I like bands like I love like some of the early 90s alt rock stuff, like Dino, mm-hmm. Dino Jr., like Dinosaur Jr. And
yeah,
that was like their latest record is unbelievable. I like to listen to a band called wow, there's so many bands, like a Band of Horses, and whose newest record is also amazing. Like these guys just keep putting out amazing records, like Dinosaur Jr. too. But I'll listen to some punk rock. I'll listen to a lot from I steal from everywhere, right? You know what I mean? I steal from everybody. But yeah, even some metal at times, you know what I mean? But I'm kind of
there you go. Now you're in Tid's wheelhouse
as I used to be. But I mean, I don't find myself wandering into metal as much as I previously did.
It's tough to do on the acoustic.
Mm-hmm. Really hard.
Very tough to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You go through strings very quickly. It just doesn't, like the cost ratio, it's not worth it. You know,
yeah, yeah.
I get it. As a starving artist, metal on the acoustic, not
yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Better off saving up for a 300-pound nugget box and just go from there.
There you go.
Dude, where can fans reach out to you? Where can they hear more of your stuff, and how can they find out more about the magic of Jeff Beadle?
I guess if you want to book me, like it would be on my website. You could like do the contact thing, and it'll reach my manager. Also, like where with my handle there, Jeff Beadle Music. So I think that's like all of my Facebook. Instagram, all that kind of stuff. But the TikTok thing I was trying out, and I don't know, maybe I'll, it's really hard for our generation to TikTok, you know what I mean? Trying to find a niche there, but I just couldn't, I don't know. Maybe I'll get into it. Like maybe I could behind the scenes stuff, or I have no idea, but I can't do it right now. But
you can't compete with those 16-year-olds that are doing it full time, man. No. And they're just like so goddamn creative, and they've figured out every way to target the algorithm. And
I know it's insane.
They post something and then they got 95 million views 10 seconds later. It's like, good for you. I don't know what you did there, but good for you. Hey, I want to ask you this before you go. I took a look at your kit that you sent us earlier, and I'm sure that that's what you send out to a lot of your prospective, clients or what have you, or gigs, right?
Yeah.
And I saw your rider that was there. I'm always curious. You don't have to name names. What's the goofiest thing you've ever seen another artist request in a rider that actually did show up?
Oh, you know what? I don't think I've ever, played with an artist that has had like something weird like that. Usually it's just like, are you vegan, are you
right
a meat eater? It's not, I think like most of the people that I've played with are pretty lax, but a lot of the times like I just ask for like, it's like water and a towel or something, you know what I mean? But I mean, I would like
you diva, bring your own towel.
my old band, we used to like this is like going years back, we used to like ask for, you know, a bottle of liquor and a case of beer and all that kind of stuff, and towels on stage and all this kind of stuff. And like you would never get what was in your rider ever. Like if you got a towel like that, you'd be like, oh shit, like I got a towel on stage and be able to dry off my head while I'm playing here. You know what I mean? But
you've reached true rock star status when you can put an asshole item in the rider and it shows up.
Exactly. And right? I like would love to reach that level.
I need one I would definitely baby blue chicken.
A live three-legged goat.
Yeah. for ritual sacrifice. It's for luck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that would be awesome. But yeah, maybe one day.
I need a monkey painted with sad colors.
Yeah.
Dude, it's been a lot of fun hanging out, and thanks so much. Let's do this again.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me, and absolutely. Yeah, would love to do it again.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
All Jeff Beadle, everybody. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much. There he goes. Check him out online, Jeff Beadle Music, on Instagram and his website. We'll have it all posted up on godfathersofpodcasting.com. We are plumb out of time, Tid, up against the clock. Any last thoughts, parting shots, comments?
If you live in a small town in Missouri, do not and have killer dogs, do not order stuff from Amazon.
Oh my God. I couldn't believe when you told me this story.
Unbelievable. Yeah, because apparently if you try to deliver something and you work for Amazon, there is a good chance that you might get eaten.
What the hell? What is this story?
4 hours later. Yeah.
What the hell? An Amazon driver? An Amazon driver was eaten by dogs.
By dogs.
What kind of dogs were these? Chihuahuas.
Hungry.
And that's all, folks. Amazon drivers, beware of dog. Holy shit. Rest in peace to the Amazon driver. And folks, control your fucking animals. Jesus. On behalf of Notorious TNT, my name is Donnie DeSilva. Thank you, Jeff Beadle. And thanks to all of you for checking us out. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
All right then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.